Joe, before you're cleared, do you have a love for God?
Check.
Time for God?
Check.
Is your Bible open?
Check.
Do you have no distractions?
Check.
Well, Joe, we are cleared for takeoff.
Heaven, how might this be my story? Heaven, how very soon I'll be gone. Heaven, how to my mansion in glory. When you hear the trumpet sound, I'm heaven bound.
Cleared for Takeoff is a preparatory program for your faith journey. And now, here is your host, Deacon Joe Montone.
Good morning, my friends, and welcome to Holy Spirit Radio and our program, Clear for Takeoff. My name is Deacon Joe Montone, and it's a privilege and a pleasure to be back here with you on the air at 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. This weekend, we prepare for the fourth Sunday in Ordinary Time. And let's go to our checklist. Number one, do you have time for God? Check. Is your heart open wide for God? Check. Is your Bible open? Check. And are you free of distractions? Check. And if you've answered yes to these four questions, then you and I are ready to engage in the Word of God. And it's so important each and every week, my friends, that we focus in on the Word with a clear mind, without distractions, and that our Bibles are open so we can get the most out of the Word of God. And it's no different when we go into church and listen to the Word being proclaimed by our readers, our lectors, our deacon, our priest, and we are getting the most out of the Word of God. And before we get into our first reading, my friends, I want to dedicate this show today to all those out there who are really suffering today because of illness. All those who are struggling with cancer, and specifically a close cousin of mine who had a kidney removed just the other day and is truly struggling in pain. But for all those out there suffering, we pray that God will bless them with a lot of peace, and physically, mentally, and spiritually lift them up to truly a new state of mind, a peaceful and more serene state of mind. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's go to our first reading from the book of the prophet Zephaniah, chapter 2, verse 3, and chapter 3, verses 12 to 13. And here it is. Seek the Lord, all you humble of the earth, who have observed his law. Seek justice. Seek humility. Perhaps you may be sheltered on the day of the Lord's anger. But I will leave as a remnant in your midst a people humble and lowly, who shall take refuge in the name of the Lord, the remnant of Israel. They shall do no wrong and speak no lies, nor shall there be found in their mouths a deceitful tongue. They shall pasture and couch their flocks, with none to disturb them. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And in the book of Zephaniah today, from the prophet himself, he calls out to us to seek the Lord, all you humble of the earth. He tells us to seek justice and humility. And it's so important that we arrive at a state in which we have humility. Humility enough to say, I love you, to those who are important to us in our circle of family life, circle of friends, people who are important to us in general, that we have the humility to tell them, you did a great job today, to talk to our children in a positive way, but to lift them up and acknowledge the good things that they do. I remember a family that I was helping for a couple years, and the father, unfortunately, was very jealous of the son, who was about 12 years old, and had the name of the grandfather. And because the father was jealous of the son, he would never acknowledge the good works that he was doing, and he would actually, you know, do the opposite, call him a dummy, sometimes smack him in the back of his head. And it was a terrible thing to hear about and to sometimes witness because of jealousy. So God calls us to a higher level, a higher standard of humility, to acknowledge the good things that other people do. And also, that humility is no question is necessary during other times when mistakes are made, when an apology is necessary, offering forgiveness. It's important to mend the wounds of the past. We've talked about it quite a few times, but it's so important because there are people out there living without forgiveness, people who have not taken the time to make an apology to those they have wounded. And God calls us to, you know, forgive one another. He calls us to love one another. And he wants us to make things right between our brothers in Christ, our brothers, our sisters, our parents, grandparents, our children, our friends. He does not want us to go through life with the spirit of bitterness. And therefore, it is required to have enough humility to make amends. Now, if you're out there listening to our show today and you're thinking that you have people in your circle who truly you need to apologize to, if you're a son or daughter and you have mistreated possibly your parents or grandparents and you owe them an apology, I challenge you today to make a call or make a visit, write a letter, and to apologize to those people that you have wounded in the heart. And also, if you're struggling out there with forgiveness, you're unable to forgive someone who has wounded you, once again, God calls us to the higher standard, to forgive those who have wounded us, and to unload the burden from your shoulder, from your mind, from your heart, but to forgive that person. Who is it who has wounded you, my friends, that you're struggling not to forgive? You're living with that spirit of bitterness. Once again, I challenge you to do it God's ways, in the eyes of God, to take a moment today, this week, and to take action and to offer forgiveness to the one individual who has wounded your heart, wounded your mind, who has done you an injustice. I ask you to rise to the occasion, to be the bigger person, and to make amends with that person today. And just maybe, with your forgiveness, that person will rise to the occasion and apologize to you. That is important. Word of God from the prophet Zephaniah goes on to talk about, if we do it this way, that just maybe, we will be in the right place when the Lord is angry. But what is it that makes God angry? What is it that pleases God? This is important. And I want you to think about what God says to do and what he says not to do within the Word of God itself, within the Old Testament, the New Testament, the Gospels, within the letters from St. Paul to the many people that he addressed. I want you to think about the things God tells us to do. In my mind, when we're doing what he says to do, following his directions, striving to be the people he calls us to be, the sons and daughters that God calls us to be in his eyes, that will please God. That should be an objective for us. each and every day, to take stock in ourselves and to take a look and see how we did today. How do we do this week? Can we do better tomorrow or next week in pleasing God in the way we live, the way we treat other people? One of the great directions we're given is the golden rule from the Gospel of Matthew, to treat others as you would like to be treated. Are we doing that, or are we neglecting other people, abusing other people, using them for our benefit only? Is it happening in our own homes? Give it some thought, my friends. What can we do better this week to put a smile on the face of our Lord Jesus Christ and our Father in heaven by pleasing Him? I challenge you to strive for the higher standard. Let's go to our second reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 1, verses 26 to 31. And here it is. Consider your own calling, brothers and sisters. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. Rather, God chose the foolish of the world to shame the wise, and God chose the weak of the world to shame the strong. And God chose the lowly and despised of the world, those who count for nothing, to reduce to nothing those who are something, so that no human being might boast before God. It is due to Him that you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, as well as righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, so that it is written, whoever boasts should boast in the Lord, the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And in the second reading from St. Paul, we're given a great message about our calling. My calling for my life, your calling for your life. What is your calling, my friends? Are you in transition, trying to find your way? What is God's plan for your life, for my life? Some are called to the married life. Some are called to the single life. Some are called to the religious life. Some are called to fatherhood, motherhood, grandparenthood. And what is your calling? Are we living up to that calling in a positive way, being a great father, a great mother, a great husband, a great wife, a great son or daughter? Are we doing the very best we can? Are we trying our best? Or are we neglecting our responsibilities, whatever state of life that we have? Once again, what is your calling? And the Word of God through St. Paul goes on to talk about the fact that no human being might boast before God. Whoever boasts should boast in the Lord. And this is where we have to be careful, that we're not elevating ourselves above God. But with God's help, we're able to accomplish extraordinary things. God's word says that man can do no great things, only God can do great things. But with God's help, we're given the ability to do extraordinary things. But sometimes we are our own worst enemy and begin to boast about our accomplishments. And this is where we have to take a step back and do the best we can to integrate the Word of God and educating others as to how God, worked through my life, through your life, to help us to accomplish some extraordinary things, which is important. As human beings, we will boast from time to time, but it's important that we acknowledge the fact that, St. Paul is telling us, no human being might boast before God. He wants us to boast in the Lord Jesus Christ, to keep him at the tip of our tongues, and to reflect on the fact that, you know, all things are possible with God. And God has helped us throughout our lives. It's important, you know, that we acknowledge God in all things. And with that, we acknowledge the good that he helps us to do. This, my friends, is important. Let's go to our gospel reading today from Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 to 12. And here it is. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up to the mountain. And after he had sat down, his disciples came to him. He began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the clean of heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are they who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they insult you and persecute you and utter every kind of evil against you falsely because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward will be great in heaven." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. And in the Gospel of Matthew today, the Lord gives us the Beatitudes, the ways to proceed in so many areas. And these Beatitudes are very powerful. I want to go into a few of them here today because I think that they're so important to touch on. The first one I want to get into, which is, "Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy." And as we apply this to ourselves, my friends, are you and I merciful towards other people? Or are we, you know, abrasive? Are we blunt? Are we, you know, compassionate towards other people? And once again, take a look at yourself objectively, and how is it that you proceed in daily life, in your walk? How are you treating other people? Are we offering mercy? Or do we have a hard line all the time? The Beatitude says, once again, "Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy." So what goes around comes around. And if we're showing mercy to other people, people will be merciful to us. Some days in life, you need help. And other days in life, you'll be giving help to other people. The second Beatitude I want to talk about is, "Blessed are the clean of heart, for they will see God." At this moment in time, is your heart clean, my friends? Do you need to get right with God? Is there a separation between you and God, a period of darkness right now, or a dwell period where you don't feel the love of God, you don't feel under the grace of God? Is that something you're feeling at this very moment? Because if we need to cleanse our hearts, if we need to get right with God, there's a way to do it, to sit down and to talk with God privately. There's a way to do it through confession, the act of reconciliation, to make amends with God, to let him know that you're sorry for your sins. And it's so important that we take time to confess our sins, to be right with God, and to not hold them in, but to, you know, truly offer ourselves up to God with humility. Because it takes, once again, humility to confess what we've done wrong. It takes humility my friends, to go to confession, to confess our sins to the priest, to talk to God privately, one-on-one, and to let him know that we are sorry is the first step. And this is important so that once again we have a clean heart. We start anew. And that's what the Lord said, you know, to our Blessed Mother Mary on the road to Calvary. He makes all things new. My heart, your heart, he makes them new. And if you need to cleanse your heart, once again, I advise, I encourage, I inspire you to please, you know, get right with God today. Take the time to go to confession. Take the time to speak to God from the heart, sincerely. Once again, do you have time for God? Is your heart wide open for God? Is your Bible open? And are you free of distractions? These are important things so that we can truly, you know, get right with God and move forward. Even St. Paul, the great persecutor of the church, is the greatest example we have, truly, of a man converted who needed to cleanse his heart, to be right with God. And again, the Beatitude says, blessed are the clean of heart, for they will see God. Don't you and I want to see God, Lord? Don't we want to see God in other people? Don't we want to see the beauty of God, how his hand works throughout the world? And to do that, we ourselves need to cleanse our hearts. The next beatitude I want to get into is, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. And in life, sometimes, my friends, there is no peace for you and I in our homes, in the workplace, in the church. Sometimes our peace is stolen away. But God says to be a peacemaker, to bring the peace. When you go to other people's homes, are you bringing the peace? When you come home from work and sit down at the dinner table, are you bringing the peace? When there's a confrontation at the table, are you bringing the peace, helping to settle things down? Or do you contribute to the opposite? God calls us once again to be peacemakers. And for the peacemakers, we will be called children of God. And this is important, my friends, as we walk in our daily lives and go from place to place, that we bring the peace of God into the hearts and minds of other people. And just recently, we had a terrible shooting out in California. 11 people were shot. We've seen also a 6-year-old young boy who took his mother's gun to school and shot a teacher. We've seen many examples of, you know, days in which things were not stable in our country and throughout the world. God calls us to a higher standard, to bring stability, bring the peace of God, the love of God, through the Word of God, in every venue that you can. God calls us to be peacemakers. And he takes the lead on this, because when he was here and walked on the earth, he said, peace be with you. Peace be upon you. Peace be with you. Time and time and time again, the Lord brought the peace. And that is one of the greatest gifts that you and I can ever bring to another person, the peace of God. But before we can do that, our Blessed Mother tells us that we have to pray for peace within our own hearts. When you and I have that peace, then and only then can we bring that peace to the heart of another person. Isn't that what we want to do, my friends? Just this past Sunday, I brought communion to a woman over at a nursing home in Ewing, New Jersey. The woman is 102 years old. She's the mother of a good friend of mine. and her name is Teresa. And, you know, I've been praying for peace for her because at 102 years old, she said, you know, I'm wondering why God forgot about me. He hasn't taken me home yet. And God has more time for her here. So I'm praying for peace for her because everything is done in God's time and in His way. And so with that, we pray for peace. We pray for peace for those who are incarcerated, who are struggling while waiting to come home. Could be months, could be years, could be that they'll never come home because of a life sentence. We pray for those who are truly in fear this week because they are undergoing testing for cancer in different parts of the body, undergoing testing because of other illnesses that have touched their lives. So we pray for peace. And once again, whatever you and I can do to bring the peace to other people, we need to do it. It's important. God says, blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. This is where you and I continue to grow in our relationship with Jesus Christ. And we continue to hunger and thirst for righteousness, to be truly the men and women that God calls us to be in the eyes of God. And God tells us that they will be satisfied. So as we hunger for the Word of God, as we hunger for the love of God, the peace of God, hunger to see God, to feel God, to touch His presence, and to truly engage in a greater relationship with Him, you and I, my friends, will be satisfied. And that comes from the Gospel of Matthew, who walked with Jesus Christ. And it's powerful. So the Beatitudes truly are a way of life, a way of living, a philosophy given to us by our Lord Jesus Christ to embrace, to adopt, to live by. Are you and I living out the Beatitudes, or is it just something nice to hear on Sunday? This weekend, we celebrate the fourth Sunday in ordinary time. This gospel will be read once again. We've heard it before. We'll hear it again in the future. But today, I pose the question to you, my friends. Are you and I living up to the Beatitudes? Or are we coming up short? Can we do better? I challenge you, my friends, this week to raise the standards and to live by the Beatitudes. Once again, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the clean of heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. I challenge you, my friends, to raise the standards, to bring as much mercy and as much peace from God to other people. That's our show for today. My name is Deacon Joe Montone. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Have a great day. God bless. We'll see you next time here at Holy Spirit Radio and Clear for Takeoff. God bless.
You have been listening to Cleared for Takeoff with your host, Deacon Joe Montone, a weekly preparatory program for your faith journey.